It's not going to happen, unfortunately, and that might take a while to get back there. What's up, fellas?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up, boys?
How we doing?
You guys see that play?
Yeah, we saw that play. We've just been reacting to it for 6 minutes, and almost like it's so bad. It's the Bad News Bears.
You don't see that at the varsity level.
No,
you don't see that at the varsity level.
Like people drive and they don't understand. It was just a ground ball hit to our left fielder. And they had a runner on first and second, and they were actually holding the runner up on third. PFP he wasn't even sending him.
Right.
So it was going to be bases loaded, one out, and it went right underneath our left fielder's glove all the way to the fence. The batter was going to stop at third base. Well, he was until we threw it in and couldn't hit the cutoff, man. And they said, boop, 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 boop. Oh, just go on and go home. So all three scored. There you go.
That's pro ball, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's pro ball.
Holy smokes.
And my man had a hand warmer on, too, man. I don't understand these baseball players with some hand warmer. It's not that cold outside.
Yeah, I'm not moving a lot. Like, okay. You got to, you know what I mean? Like,
well,
you
they're
have
in
more
Chicago.
Chance. And they're, it is chilly.
They're not here.
Okay.
It's freezing. Well, you got to be working on PFPs. I was reading I was listening to, I think it was Patrick Saunders had this interview with Bud Black where he said, or Bud was essentially saying, we have to get better on offense this year. He said, all right, well, how do you do that? And essentially Bud was saying, well, it's about chase rate and, you know, all of our guys are just, their chase rate is terrible. Basically said, stop swinging at garbage.
Sure.
But it's so much more than that.
Mm.
And we just went through the conversation of what can you learn from these other franchises? Zach, I'm curious. I mean, you're a guy who came here and fell in love with the Rockies. Like, what do you do here with this team? You just sit and wait?
I mean, I think it's been maybe 2 years since it's not just me. I mean, it's a collection of people who have been paying attention who just want an outside voice, They have been the most internal pro sports team of any of the four pro sports teams that we have in the United States of America. And you can't, and you know how I know that to be true? Because you can't be more internal. They've never been external. So I know since they've showed up, they've been the most internal promoting team in pro sports, and it's got them absolutely nowhere. And I said multiple times, like, man, it makes me sad because in 2017, when I do come into town, me and Stoke, one of the first things we did was went to Coors Field for opening day. And they had six consecutive losing seasons, and they started winning, and it was fun. Mm. We talk Rockies every day. This weekend, I got a text from Phil, I think you or Drew or someone, that said, oh, the Rockies won, and I literally forgot that they were in action. I forgot that they were in action. I didn't watch one pitch of Rockies baseball this weekend, and as bad as they've been, I've never been tapped out like this.
Let's talk about winners. Let's turn the page. My blood pressure is already too high. Let's turn the page.
Yeah.
I want to get y'all's thoughts, you and Phil, because Matt and I talked a lot about it.
By the way, I appreciate it. I know you're a fan, so I just wanted an optimistic take on the Rockies. You know,
where y'all at with the Nuggets today? Saturday, I was like, whoa! I was really I'm starting to get really worried.
Yeah.
After watching them Friday night. Nice performance yesterday. Jamal was on the court, kind of warming up a little bit, right? Didn't play. Where you at today? Where were you at Saturday? All still the same, feeling much better.
Phil, go ahead. You go ahead.
This one was tough because I was going to ask Zach the same thing because I have a different feeling in my body right now about the Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets are the Denver Nuggets. They're going to do well in the playoffs, and hopefully we can get that championship. But what they looked like out there when they were playing, okay, they were playing the Minnesota Timberwolves. That was embarrassing. That really was embarrassing. That was one of those bounce-back games on Friday night at home. Okay, at home.
Against a rival. Who's been in first place.
Yes, and you show up like you did. Like, you showed up like you didn't want to be there. All right, and they got dominated from the start.
Yeah.
From the start. And then you beat up on the Cavaliers, who's a tough team.
Yeah.
They are a tough team.
Yeah, they come with their own challenges.
You know, but I can't sit here and erase what we've seen on Friday night.
So you're still concerned?
I'm concerned a little bit. That's why I tweeted it out. And I got backlash. Everybody was mad at me. But I was just wanting to know.
Don't say anything negative about the Nuggets, buddy.
You know? Matt, all I said was, should we be worried about the Denver Nuggets right now?
Yeah, don't worry.
And everybody was mad at me.
Nuggets fans, man. That's a very sensitive bunch there.
It looked like they looked like an AAU team who was playing a third game totally. For the day. Mm. They could not move. They looked like they had cement shoes. Yeah. They looked cooked. You know what they look like? They look like they did in the playoffs against the Golden State Warriors. What was it, 2 or 3 years ago? Or maybe yes. Phoenix when they got beaten 4.
Burned out and gassed.
They just looked like grass in the Colorado sun in late July.
Kind of grass.
They looked cooked. They looked cooked. And my focus is definitely shifting to do whatever you take to make sure this team is intact, healthy.
Yeah.
You're not going to be the 4 seed. The schedule doesn't set up for you to be the 4 seed. You're going to be a top 3 seed. Do whatever it takes to be whole and reset the physical with the mind. Because I think they wanted to play hard the other night. I did. I think you look at the dynamics of the game. They've been in first place. The team who built you, the guy who built you, is now their president.
Yeah.
Who's their coach? Chris Finch. Guess who he used to be working for? The Nuggets on Michael Malone's staff. I mean, and it was such a big game on paper for the standings, and they just didn't look like they had the gas in the tank left.
But you say rest, and I say, okay, well, let's rest them. But then you see what you saw yesterday. You know what I'm saying? Where Jokic plays, let's see how many he played. He only had to play 26, but he scored. No, excuse me.
That was about a point.
He played 35. Yes, 35. Minutes,
yeah.
He scored 26 points. I mean, dominant, 18 rebounds, 16 assists. I mean, absolute dominant performance. So I'm with you on the rest. Like, if guys need to rest, rest them. But if you don't need to rest, let's play ball. And then you look at the last two games of the season on the road against
San Antonio.
Yeah, Memphis, San Antonio, where you can win those with whoever. And I think you brought it up to me, Zach, and you got to play in games. You did bring it up.
Yes.
You got to play in games.
About
the
a
rest,
week.
Also,
yeah.
Which is a long period. So I want to play if you can play, but if you need a little time off, take the time off.
Yeah, I my eyes told me that was a team that needed time off.
On Friday night?
On Friday night. The man, that was just disheartening.
But how much credit do you give to Minnesota?
A ton.
Best defensive team in the league,
best,
I believe.
Yes.
They were impressive.
They're in every passing lane. They do a great job with everything that they do. They are literally constructed to beat Denver.
Mm.
Quite literally. And they're long, they're aggressive. See, we went through, and he didn't play well offensively, but the Nuggets beat Minnesota last year in the playoffs and 12, 13 days ago without Naz Reid. That's why Minnesota hasn't dropped off. I mean, big, long defender can shoot it. They're really good, man. Guys, they're really good. They're really freaking good.
They've earned my respect this year in a way that I didn't think I was going to get to with the Timberwolves. But, Zach, I mean, you're spot on. That's a team that deserves, first of all, you've lost to them now, what, twice this year, right? That's a team that deserves your full attention. And I'm not exactly sure they treated them maybe like that at the beginning of the year. But if you're not doing that now,
yeah,
then you're kind of ignoring what's in front of you. And I'm with you. And the one thing I'll say is the way they played yesterday against Cleveland, had they been playing like that more consistently where, okay, we're putting together a good third quarter,
yeah,
we're getting a consistent lead,
yeah,
then maybe they wouldn't be in a situation where they are in this tight little mix here, because there have been games this year where they've kind of played with their food a little bit, but they've been good enough in clutch time,
yeah,
to win most of them. But they played the most clutch time games in the league this year. What, they've lost like 14 of them? I want to say something like that. The point is that you might not be in that situation if you were able to kind of take care of business. So to me, I thought it was at least a good indication yesterday. Great third quarter defensively, I thought. And obviously when you shoot, what was it, 65%
yeah,
from three?
Yeah.
That changes a lot of things. But at least then you get Jokic and Murray and some of these guys a chance to maybe just ease it in down the stretch.
Well, it's a new year. Last year at this time, they were already starting to do operation shutdown.
Yeah. Right.
They were already starting to do operate. So they handled the end of the regular season kind of like the preseason, and it reset them. And if you remember game one, the way that they came out against Minnesota, it was like, oh my God. And
but they're going to be forced this year to do operation shutdown.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like, hey, let's make a decision. No, it's going to be like, yo.
Yeah, not a luxury. Yeah, more of a mandate instead of a luxury like it was a year ago. We have so much to get to. We are off and rolling. This weekend was a busy one in sports. We saw a lot go down, but there's also something we didn't see. And I want to talk about that coming up next.
Haven't found your way into opening day yet? Don't worry, we got you covered. Just head over to our home opener party this Friday on the rooftop at El Patio Denver, right across from Coors Field, to enter for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the baseball game. We'll be be live starting at 10 a.m. and you must be present to win. So come find us on the rooftop at El Patio Denver and win your way in. We'll see you there. 104.3 The Fan. We are Denver Sports.
Nation, call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Soda weight loss worked for me because I learned how to eat, what to eat, and when to eat. Listen, I'm an unconscious eater, so I would just eat and eat and not really even think about what I was eating or when I was eating or how much I was eating. And that's why I was well overweight. But I dropped 60 pounds. I've kept it off for over 2 years thanks to SodaWeightLoss.com and knowing how to eat, what to eat, when to eat, working with my nutritionist, and it's been fantastic. They're there for me. They're there for you as well. It's SodaWeightLoss.com. Let me finish. It's state of the art.
You wouldn't know it, but most financial advisors are put in a box. I'm Jeff Jr. from Trajan Wealth, and I want to provide you a little insight about financial advisors. Most financial advisors have to sell what their company requires them to sell, and many advisors have to only adhere to what's called a suitability standard. A suitability standard is a limited standard of care, not requiring what's sold to be best, just suitable. Advisors with this loose standard often have limited investment and product selection. Trajan Wealth is held to a fiduciary standard, which is the highest standard of care in the advisory business. And that's just one of the many reasons we have billions of dollars under our care and attract clients from other advisors. Raise your standards today and call Trajan Wealth. Call 720-405-3300. That's 720-405-3300.
Advisory services offered through Trajan Wealth, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Are you spending hours online looking at homes and wondering why your agent keeps all the commission? If so, you need to contact Steve Novak at Easy Agents. Steve has created a better way to buy a home. Search for your home online and on your time, and Steve will take care of all the rest. And he splits the commission with you 50-50, saving you thousands in closing costs and fees. Most of Steve's clients save between $8,000 to $15,000. Enjoy a stress-free and lucrative home buying journey with Easy Agents, powered by Location. Visit EasyAgents.com today. Easy Agents, Colorado Rebate Realtor.
Thinking about a major home remodel or addition? The only name you need to know is AAA Home Improvements. They serve clients who expect high-quality design and build services at a fair price. Get a free estimate at AAAHomeImprovements.com today. That's AAAHomeImprovements.com.
If you've been injured in Colorado, you want Wilhite. After an accident, you want Colorado's accident experts on your side, the Wilhite Law Firm. Get your free case review right now. Just call 303-GOOD-LAW today or visit WilhiteWins.com and win big with Wilhite.
Are you ready to get discovered more easily online and generate more customers? AIM Digital is your one-stop shop for digital advertising solutions that focus on the entire customer journey from awareness to becoming a new customer. From search engine marketing, social media ads, to search engine optimization and streaming video ads across all major platforms, AIM has the expertise to take your Denver business to the next level. Don't wait. Visit AIMDigitalAgency.com now to schedule a free consultation. That's AIM Digital Agency.
This segment on 104.3 The Fan is brought to you by Trajan Wealth, your trusted local fiduciary advisors.
The Schlereth and Evans podcast is sponsored by Xfinity. Xfinity is the best way to stream your favorite live sports on the next generation Xfinity 10G network. 104.3 The Fan, DenverSports.com, and the Denver Sports app. We are Denver Sports. Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay.
Off and rolling on a Monday. Happy April. As on cue here in Colorado, a wintry mix starts to fall from the sky in the Denver Tech Center. But, Phil, in here, it's sunny, man. Been looking forward to this all day. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. It's 80 degrees in here. 80 degrees is sunny. Now, when you started to describe the weather out there, I thought you were going to start rapping. Okay, Zach, go ahead and flow.
It is dark. It is cloudy. It is it is very gloomy. It's balmy. It's wet. And now it's raining. But I'll tell you this, you know, the fellas were talking about what's going on at Wrigley. Opening day this Friday, Phil, it is going to be a scene. It is going to be one of the nicest days of the year. And I don't care if the Rockies lose every single game 16-1 like yes. they did game number one.
Yes.
It is going to be a party, and we will be there.
I'm excited for it, man. I'm excited. Look, it doesn't matter what the Rockies are doing, right? You know, we can't control that. But I know this, everybody's going to be out there having fun, enjoying themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Going to the Rockies game, coming to see Zach Bye and I. Especially Zach, I see the haircut. You're already ready. You're already game time ready.
Got that Easter flow. Got the Easter cut like a little boy.
Oh, actually, how was Easter, man?
It was good. It was good. It was good. Me and my son went and got haircuts together, and forever he's been like go to like the kiddie place where like sit in like a plane or something. And now like we went to a place and he's got like his first ever short haircut, like short on the side. Everything looks like a little kid. And it was great, man. We had a really nice day as a family. How about you guys?
Oh, it was great, man. We went to both the parents' house, both sides. It looked like Christmas for my young little man. Because
oh, it's like
you
that.
You know how the grandparents are.
Oh, yeah. Spoil them.
He had like four Easter baskets.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, there's only three of us all together. We should have three Easter baskets. How did we get another one?
Right.
So I just had to let him know and remind him, like, this is not going to always be the case.
Sure.
We have another little one coming.
Right.
You're going to have to share everything. And that's what we're learning right now, Zach, is how to share with other people.
Yeah, we're doing the same. We're doing the same. I said going to the last break, it was a busy weekend in sports, in Colorado sports for sure. We saw a lot go down. But there's also something we didn't see. And I said to you on Friday, man, don't be standing next to me when we get news that Jamal Murray isn't going to play over the weekend, because antennas will fly out of my head so fast you could get poked in the eye.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're not being dramatic about that. You literally told everybody that, and you came in here with three antennas in your head. I don't know how you got another.
And here we are. I mean, yeah. Jamal Murray, we get the news that he wasn't going to play against Minnesota on Friday, and he also didn't play against Cleveland on Sunday. And I want to know our concern level with Jamal, because our concern level with Jamal might be a good reflection of the team, because you and I know this team's not going anywhere big picture without their second best player, Jamal Murray.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We know that. We need the bubble Jamal to show up, but he also needs to be healthy. And so looking around, I'm hearing two different sides, Zach. I'm hearing some people say, you know what, they're being cautionate, and they're doing things for precaution and let him just sit there and rest. And the other ones that kind of think, you know what, there may be something a little bit more worse going on with Jamal, whether it's his knees, the shin splints, the ankle, something is going on. And that's kind of where my take is with this whole situation, Zach, is something is a little bit worse than what they're putting on to us and what they're telling us, because what I'm kind of getting at is we don't know when he's going to come back.
Yeah.
People think that he's going to come back here soon.
Yeah.
But as long as he comes back for the playoffs, which he still will, but how healthy is he, Zach?
Yeah, and that's the thing. And like one little setback when the playoffs get started could derail the season.
Mm.
And it's crazy that's how fickle this road that we are on is that we know we waited 2 years for the group to get healthy. Then they got healthy, they won a championship. But what we don't talk about enough with that championship run was just in general how healthy the club was.
Yeah.
It was unusual to be playing with that much force and have that much firepower in a wholesale way. They weren't missing anything last year. And it's like, man, it's just different this time around. And I know there's not like any ACL at play here.
Yeah.
But Jamal's missed 20% of the season. Jokic has been dealing with back pain most of the season.
And a wrist.
Yeah,
that was weird.
Phil, he's been dealing with that wrist. Now, we're just starting to hear about it again, but this was a big topic last year where he would go to the bench and there'd be big ice.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think he got it hurt in, like, Eurobasket two summers ago playing for Serbia. But that has reared its head again. And it looks like a team, man. It was hard to watch that game on Friday night. It was hard, man. It looked like, and I said this to Matt and Stoke during the crosstalk, it looked like a team at an AAU tournament. You play play three, four games in a day sometimes.
Yeah.
And it looked like a team that hadn't played yet against a team that was on their third or fourth game. And I wonder, big picture, if we all admit it's going to be harder this year, it's not going to be 16-4.
No.
It's like, what type of marathon are we truly in for? And does this team have the gas to not do what they did a year ago, because it's not going to look the same, but reach that same summit on the heels of what they've already been through, on the heels of last season when they had the shortest offseason in Denver Nuggets history, because that's what happens when you win a title.
No doubt that they look sloppy, they look tired, they look wore out, and they're hurt. They got to get healthy. But here's where I'm at with it. We've seen them play versus the Phoenix Suns. They didn't look good. All of a sudden, people thought that they were going to get up for this next game. Okay, it's not like you can just turn it on when you're tired, you're wore out, and you have injuries going on. That's just not how it is. It's human bodies. You're dealing with human beings.
Yeah.
All right, now us, we're blowing it up. We're trying to make this big fight out of it. We're trying to blow it up so that those players out there, Jokic and them, are ready to play and excited to play. But we all know, and Zach, you know it best on the basketball court. If you're not feeling it and you're hurting, it's not going to go well for you. And so it kind of trickled down into the Timberwolves game. The Timberwolves were ready for the Denver Nuggets. You could see the bench. You could see how they were, where the emotions were running high throughout the whole entire team. And they were just ready to play, and they are healthier right now than what the Denver Nuggets look.
How much pressure, if any, comes off yesterday when they actually go out and dominate a team like Cleveland, made a bunch of shots.
Yeah.
Jokic was incredible, and he deserves his own little space in this conversation here in a minute. But do you breathe a sigh of relief from a rare 29-point win? I mean, Nuggets don't blow teams out like that on an even semi-regular basis, or are you still thinking about last week and Friday night?
I'm thinking about last week and Friday night, all right? They went out there and put on a show on yesterday, which was great. And you said something earlier, Zach, where you said they needed to be rested. And my whole take on it is, how much rest did they get from the Timberwolves to playing the Cleveland Cavaliers? Not that much.
No, just Friday to Sunday.
Nothing changed. Jamal stood in play.
Yeah.
And we're just a better team than the Cleveland Cavaliers at this time.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
What are we doing versus the Phoenix Suns? What are we doing versus the Timberwolves? Two teams that we're going to have to see in the playoffs, one of them at least.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what I'm worried about. Is winning the teams that beating the teams that we need to beat so that we can hold up this trophy. Those teams are in our way. And right now, the Phoenix Sun beat us twice. The Timberwolves can't, they almost beat us the first time or the second time we played them. All right.
And it was like 115, 113. Yeah. Yes, good memory.
And then the Timberwolves Friday night put it on us. And now I'm not going to sit here and kiss somebody's butt because they did well versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. I want to see them do it versus the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
I want to see them do it versus the Phoenix Suns. All right, that's what I want to see them do. And I know we're missing Jamal, but that's how I feel, and that's where I stand right now, Zach, because I don't know where we stand with this team. The bench is not doing as well as we should be. We are not healthy.
Well, I'll give you credit, because last week before the Suns game, I had a really good feeling. And again, when we had both of the conversations that I'm about to bring up, I just thought Jamal was coming back, so I want to just shoehorn that in for my own defense. But I want to give you credit. You said, I do not like how I feel against Phoenix. And then we're all like, okay, this is the biggest game of the year. It's Friday night. It's Minnesota. Like, bet on the bounce back. Yeah. The traditional Nuggets, that stock dips. They're back at home. They'll get up for this. And you said, I still don't feel well. And you can't even let that score 111-98. Because you actually said on Friday, I think they could get blown out. Mm. And you said, what does a big win look like to you? And I said, well, since it would be back-to-back losses at home, I think 12, 13 points would actually be. That's exactly what it was. But here's the thing. That final score wasn't even a reflection of how dominant the Nuggets got their ass whooped in their own barn on Friday night against a team that they're going to have to run into and that they have run into in the past as recent as a year ago. I mean, the Nuggets were down as many as 26 points.
Yes. They were down and out, Zach. They were down and out. And when I'm watching these games, all right, there's something that you brought up to everybody, all the listeners, and there's something that hopefully you guys are still listening to is the referees are letting them play.
Yeah.
That was a physical game.
Yep.
And the Denver Nuggets were not up to the task. Just like when I'm watching the Colorado Avalanche, we win and we have exciting games. But physicality-wise, we're getting out physical even on that ice. And that's just the truth. Now, in this take with the court in the Denver Nuggets, they are getting out physical by teams like the Phoenix Suns and the Minnesota Timberwolves, and they're crying for these fouls, and they're just not going to get them, Zach. They're not going to get the fouls that they want this year.
Yeah, this is a playoff whistle during the regular season to a degree, a shift that's never happened in the history of the NBA, where it's called a certain way through the first 50 games and another way through the last 30. We'll circle back. We'll circle back to the Denver Nuggets conversation here shortly. I thought yesterday was masterful from Jokic, and I do want to spend more time on that. But we will shift gears here in the moment, because with 8 games left on the Avalanche schedule, an age-old issue in Denver becomes new again. That's where we'll go coming up next. With 8 games left on the Colorado Avalanche schedule, an age-old issue in Denver becomes new again. And look, I don't want to be like overly dramatic about it and call it, you know, some sort of controversy. But to call it nothing is not being true to the situation either. So it lives somewhere in between. And of course, we're talking about the goalie position once again here with the Colorado Avs. We've been talking about the goalie position for years now with the Avs. And during the commercial break, Phil, we were just kind of spitballing saying, how many cups do you think the Avs would win if their goaltender was Igor Shesterkin? You know, one of the 3 best in the world. We just saw him last week against the New York Rangers. He played great. That's what he does. Or like Andre Vasilevsky or someone like that. Like the Avs would win 3 or 4 cups. And it feels like they've overcame their goaltending even when they won the cup for sure. But here we are. It's new faces from 2 years ago, and it's still the same issue. Georgiev pulled early in the second against Nashville. Now, the Avs came back and won in, like, hysterically fun fashion. I want to talk about that in a minute.
The comeback kids.
Again, it's like, dude.
That's what they do, Zach. I get used to it now. I'm like, this is who we are. It doesn't matter as long as, you know, at the end of the game, we win. It just makes it more exciting for us.
It does, and some points a little nerve-wracking because this wasn't just like a comeback of 1-0. This was 2-0, then 2-1, then like 3-1, 3-2, 4-2. And then it's just like, okay, afterburner time, hit the Nas button.
That switch we talk about.
That switch from Fast and the Furious.
We're done playing with you guys.
Yes, exactly. But Georgie Pulth, you know, gave up 4 goals on 13 shots. Picked up an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on the goal.
That was wild.
Yeah.
He chucked it into the stands.
Yes.
He was so frustrated that he said, screw it. I'm done.
And he's wearing that frustration like on his sleeve.
Yes.
So that's not healthy. And Bednar said that penalty was a factor in pulling him. And Annan came in, played great. And now it looks like Annan's going to get the start tonight. What do you make of this dynamic here?
That's what this game is about. You're here to be productive, right? The game is all about being productive. When you're out there getting scored on, and I'm not going to say Georgiev was the reason why some of those goals were scored.
Sure.
You know, but he's the goalie, so he's going to take some of that heat.
Yeah.
But getting emotional like he did, frustrated like he did, throwing the puck, like you can't have that as a goalie knowing that we're going to have to count on you. You have to be mentally tough and mentally in the right space at all times, even when things are not going your way. Onanen took advantage of the opportunity presented to him, and it was on the fly.
Yeah, it was. I just wonder, like, is this, I mean, Phil, there's 8 games left in the season.
I know.
And I will say this, for me personally, I think this is a totally separate team and nothing from the past should correlate directly to what we're seeing right now.
Yeah.
But in my own head as a fan, and you were playing in the NFL and doing everything that you were doing and like getting started on this journey this past year. But for me, I'm like a little bit, not scarred, but a little bit.
From just the goalie play?
Phil, we would be in the middle of the playoffs and we'd be arguing what goaltender should start. Mm. That's where we were at. And it's like, is this about to be a front and center discussion? Because it is right now and there's only 8 games left in the year.
Zach, I think we are going to be having a discussion throughout the playoffs about who should be the goalie. I just do. I think we're at this point right now where they're just not consistent enough. Or they're inconsistent. Let's just say it like that. Georgiev plays great at times, and then it's like, where are you at? Onanen, right? He's young. We don't know truly. His ceiling is still high, right? He's still young in this league. But we also know that it's the playoffs, and we want one goalie to start every single game if we can.
Yeah.
And with us, we don't have a top 3 goalie. We don't have Igor come rolling in. We don't have that.
No.
And so there's going to be games where I feel like Georgiev may get pulled. Now, do I think Georgiev's going to end up being the starter? I do. I don't think Bednar wants to even mess with that at this point, right? 8 games left in the season. Why make this a mess? Why make it a mess?
I don't think it's what he wants to do. I think it's like happening organically again. And Annanen's numbers, like, I mean, his numbers look mostly good. He's 6-3-1 on the season. I mean, his save percentage is 9-3-2. He's got a couple shutouts. Now, a couple of shutouts came against the same team, a really bad Blackhawks team, which they won by a combined 10-0.
Yep.
And I think that kind of like boosts up the numbers here. But I don't know, man. If you had one game to win, like an elimination game, and I know they don't, but just to play the game, Georgie's starting for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Georgie's going to start.
I think me too.
Just at right now, he's played a lot. He's had some really big games, and I know Onanen did too, just not enough of a sample size for me to feel comfortable. And just like Malone with the Denver Nuggets, Bednar, I'm pretty sure it's like, I'm going to go with what I'm more comfortable with.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens tonight because Onanen's going to be between the pipes. But once again, the team that the Avs are playing is just bad. This is a bad Columbus team that, I mean, we just saw them, you know, a week or two ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago now. They lost 6-1 against Colorado. But we'll see what happens tonight. This is now, because we're so close to the finish line, it's becoming a little bit fascinating. But it was fun yesterday when the Avs start freaking pouring it on. It felt like actually the Pittsburgh game in that respect.
Yeah.
Where it's just like once the avalanche starts falling, it's like there's no stopping it.
Run!
When they, yeah, pretty much. I mean, what'd they have? What was it, 4 unanswered yesterday? I mean, goodness gracious.
Yeah, I mean, they poured it on. They poured it on. McKinnon had 2 goals, had a backhander at the end of an empty netter to seal it and solidify it. But they played well as a team. Now, they got banged up. They got banged up a little bit. Sean Walker went out. I don't think he's playing this next game.
Yes, I saw that.
Was Kale at one point got banged up, and you know he came back in.
He ended up having a great game.
Yeah, maybe he needed that.
Yeah,
but they're just, when I watch the game, Zach, this is the physical part, and I know the Colorado Avalanche aren't built to be physical; they're built for finesse. But when they've played the Rangers and they played the Predators, they've been out physical.
Yeah,
you know, and I know that does matter when it comes to the playoffs, because it's the playoffs.
Totally. No, totally. That's almost like, that's been a blueprint against Colorado. It's muck it up. Dirty up the game, slow it down, make it a physical-based game. And they're going to see that again. And that's the one thing that they did have up their sleeve in the cup run, is they were able to
play
multiple styles and meet that level of aggression. And I said it was 4 unanswered. It was actually 5. And McKinnon ends up with a 4-point night, but it was weird. I thought the best play from McKinnon was the initial assist to, I think it was Drouin.
Yeah.
Just, it's like, he fits it through a coin slot, through traffic. Just so brilliant. The 2 goals were kind of like weird for McKinnon. The one was off a rebound from Josh Manson, which he kind of missed the puck. He kind of fanned on it. Maybe got 10% of it. It just rolls across the goal line. And then the empty netter that you pointed out. So after the one game where he doesn't get a point and, you know, disrupts.
I was thinking that. I didn't want to bring it up because it is what it is, but it's like, come on. After you know, not finding a way to get 1 point, you go out there and do what you did last night.
I guess it was yesterday afternoon. Yeah.
So it sucks, but.
Did you hear him after the game say he was getting tired of talking about it?
Yeah.
Do you believe him, or do you think that's something you just say after a streak like that gets snapped?
I believe him. I think that as much as people want to put on, and he puts on, is like, he doesn't matter, and his teammates, it doesn't matter. It can affect a game. It can be a distraction. And for someone like Nathan McKinnon, who's all about the team, I think it's like, I'm tired of people just focusing on me.
Sure.
I'm tired of just getting all the attention. Let's go out there and win games.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens tonight, man. They are on the road. They are back east in Ohio. Puck is going to drop at 5 o'clock this afternoon. So we'll see what shakes out. And shout off Yakov Trenin, who, it was so cool to see, like, he's scoring a goal against his previous team. And that's just, there's got to be something extra with that. And you could see it. He's freaking pumping the fist, jumping up against the glass. That's just a cool moment, like, you know, performing well against your former team. So love the finish of the game anyway yesterday. And we'll continue to follow that goaltender situation a little bit later this evening. All right, Phil, what happened to maybe the most anticipated Colorado sporting event this past weekend? That's where we'll go coming up next. It's only in your head you feel left out or looked down on. Try your best. Try everything.
what they tell themselves.
What happened to what I think we agreed upon on Friday was the most anticipated Colorado sporting event this past weekend? There was a lot going on. We had the Denver Nuggets and the T-Wolves with the potential number one seed on the line on Friday night at home. We had the Rockies in their first series of the season. We had the Avalanche hosting a red-hot Predators team who had lost like once in regulation in the last month or so. But we agreed that the most anticipated sporting event of the weekend was CU Buffs versus Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes. Could J.R. Payne's young women defeat what had been really the biggest story in college sports this past year?
Yeah.
And, Phil, unfortunately, they didn't come up short. They came up long way away from where Iowa was on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, I think they took notes from the Denver Nuggets on Friday.
Yeah,
you know? Look, those women went out there, played their hearts out. They did something special. J.R. Payne has something special over there. I really was hoping that they could dominate and find a way, not even dominate, just squeak through and find a way to beat a powerhouse in Iowa. And that wasn't the case. Watching that game, if you're not firing on all cylinders versus a tough team, versus a dominant team like the Iowa Hawkeyes, you're not going to win that game. If you don't stop Caitlin Clark, you're not going to win that game. If you don't play good defense, you will not win that game. And you know the refs, the media teams, everybody wants to see another matchup versus LSU and Iowa.
Yeah.
So you have to put everything you have into that game. They just weren't ready for that game, Zach, looking at it, and they were just – Iowa was in a league of its own watching that game.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to put it. They were in a league of their own on Saturday on national TV. And, you know, it started to become clear during that second quarter.
Yeah.
Oh, man, they're punching outside of their weight class.
Yeah.
And what's the final score going to look like? And the final score was 89-68. And, I mean, Caitlin Clark, she actually struggled from three. I mean, I actually don't have her numbers in front of me, but I think she was like 3-for-10 or 3-for-12 or whatever it was from three. But watching her distribute the basketball and use all the attention that gets thrown her way against the defense, it was, as a basketball fan, I mean, fun to watch. She is, as much as, and she's on everyone's radar, but it's because of the scoring, and she's the all-time scorer in the history of college basketball. But and I know people who watch Caitlin Clark way more than I do. I don't want to misrepresent myself. Way more than I do. Already know this to be true. But I think the masses, myself included, saw the court vision on display. And I was just so impressed with her all-around game on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, 29 points, 15 assists, 6 rebounds. That's still a great game.
Oh, my God.
That's a great
game.
Dude,
15 assists? That's unusual. That's
like Jokic.
Yeah, it is.
You know, so it's hard to beat a dominant player. Look at Jokic. It's hard to beat him. Okay, Caitlin Clark right now is another one. It's hard to beat, especially when you can't match fire with fire.
Yeah.
All right? The Lady Buffs, they didn't have anybody that could stop Caitlin Clark, all right? And they, like, I'm just going to say it. They were in a league of its own, like we said before, with the Iowa Hawkeyes. CU Buffs did what they had to do to try to get where they were. They just weren't good enough to beat Iowa.
Yeah, and it wasn't just the Caitlin Clark show. They were just, as a team, Iowa just outclassed them. And when you look at, if you're going to pull off an upset like that, the way that I thought they could, I did. I thought they could.
And, I did too.
And was rooting for them, and I was dead wrong. But if you're going to pull it off, you need to shoot it well. And that's the equalizer in college college basketball. When you're punching outside of your weight class, you got to make shots. And when they went 8-29, that's 27%. And then the other thing, I'm not going to get overly critical, okay? But the amount of straight line drives that Caitlin Clark got right to the basket.
Yeah, the defense was not good.
It was not.
No help.
And I'm not condoning violence, but like you finish at the rim that many times, someone needs to end up on their back. You know, and there was just no.
What was that?
There was no, you know, defensive rotations. They certainly couldn't keep her in front of them. And then it's just, I mean, she must have finished at the basket 7-9 times.
Well, and that's where you ask yourself, like, are you scared of her? Are you scared to make that bad, you know, quote unquote bad decision by fouling her? Do something. Yeah. Don't just let her continue to drive to the basket, get a clean look, and put up some layups, because she wasn't doing well from the three. But she didn't have to, because you guys were giving her the lane. So it's like, man, it was frustrating watching it. It was frustrating watching it, but it is what it is. They had a great year. The Lady Buzz had a great year.
They did, man. They did some cool stuff. They were ranked as high as third in the country. And, you know, this is the first time in quite a bit that, I mean, back-to-back Sweet 16s, three NCAA tournaments in a row. Obviously, we all wanted more for them, but, you know, really good season for J.R. Payne. And I do wonder, after back-to-back Sweet 16 appearances, with a lot of her team leaving, if another school will come calling the phone of J.R. Payne. It's just, we hadn't really spent a lot of time on that, but I think it could be very relevant. And I know CU gave her a raise, I believe, last year after what they did. We'll see what it looks like this offseason. Iowa LSU.
Uh-oh.
Tonight, 5 o'clock on ESPN. Who you got? I'm not going to hold your feet to the fire because I know we're not grinding over film, but do you think the Hawkeyes move on?
No. I think LSU wins. I think LSU wins again. I think that they're going to be motivated. You know, they're scrappy. They're scrappy.
Very much so.
You know, the coach is scrappy.
Oh, yeah.
And has a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah. Hey, that Washington Post article dropped, it didn't seem like there was anything that would, like, derail her career or anything.
I thought some crazy stuff was going to happen. KJ, what'd you think about it?
Yeah, they definitely toned it down.
Do you think they took stuff out?
They definitely took stuff out, if I'm going to be extremely honest with you guys, because it was geared to go in a specific direction in regards to how she treats certain players, and they toned it way back, and that's okay. That's fine. Save your bacon, whatever you got to do, my guy. To answer your question about LSU and Iowa, me and Phil are in absolute lockstep. Like, LSU has found something. They've got it cooking right now, and, like, they look at each other, and they're like, no. This is our opportunity to go back-to-back. Like, we won't have this version of this team together ever again.
LSU,
they're looking side-to-side. We're the villains, and we get a chance to play spoilers to an undefeated season, to one of the greatest players in NCAA history. In between South Carolina and Iowa, we get a chance to do something cool here, and I think they recognize what's up the road ahead.
Well, I went back and looked at the rating from the national championship last year between LSU and Iowa.
Yeah.
Guys, almost 10 million people watched the game. 9.9 million. Most watched women's college basketball game of all time. Most watched women's – no. It was the most watched college game in the history of ESPN. Most watched now it's worth noting that ESPN doesn't have the rights to, like, the Final Four national championship because CBS has those. But I thought that was noteworthy. That it was literally the most watched college basketball game in the history of ESPN. That's been around for a long time. Will that number get passed tonight? And I'm just curious. I'm gonna have my eye on it for sure. May bet it, and we'll see what that looks like a little bit later. But that's gonna be fascinating later this evening. Okay, Phil, the NFL draft is officially this month, and it's a tipping point for the Broncos. What do we think we know about this draft for Denver? I want to have that conversation with Phil coming up next.